The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for being here on this warm, steamy day. This Sunday is one of those oddball festivals of the church. It is the festival of the Trinity. And this is one of those Sundays that preachers around the world try to explain God. And you know what? Most of the time we fail. What is God? Who is God? How does God operate? And on Trinity Sunday, preachers around the world try to describe a God that's out there, a God that relates to God. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when the creeds were being written, theologians fought over the wording of those creeds. Did the Father proceed from the Son? The Son proceeded from the Father. Who was begotten? And once the creeds were nailed down, if you disagreed with them, well, you could be executed as a heretic. And what I'm saying in this awkward introduction is that when we talk about God outside of relationship, we miss who God is. God is for us. Do you remember, those of you who grew up in the Lutheran Church memorizing the Catechism, who is rightly prepared to receive the sacrament? The one who believes the words, "for you." For you. For the forgiveness of sin. And so as we go back to the creation story, always carry back into it the words "for you." In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep when a wind from God swept over the face of the earth. Now that wind could also be spirit. The word is ruach, the same word that's used for spirit and wind and all those things that blow around that you can't pin down. But if you remember from the beginning of the Gospel of John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing comes into being." And you skip forward a few verses, and you read, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace
and truth. So you see, at the creation, the Creator and the Spirit and the Word that became flesh, the Word that was Jesus, were all in play at the beginning of creation. There never was a time when God was not. Think about that. There never was a time when God was not. And so we get to today's gospel reading, post-resurrection. And Jesus is giving his last instructions to his disciples according to the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That same triune God that was there at the creation. "Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always to the end of the age." Do you see how Trinity wraps up God's presence before creation even began and during creation? And during creation, when God talked to the people that God made and said, "See, I've given you every plant yielding seed that's upon the face of the earth. I've given you. Is God in relation already at the beginning of creation? And these verses in Matthew saying, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And of course, as Christians, we believe there is no end of the age, because being in relationship with Christ in the fullness of the Trinity of God is life forever. And so the question today is, so what about the in-between time? If God always was and in relationship, and God always will be and in relationship, what does that mean for me today? Let's go back to the end of Matthew. The disciples have had a roller coaster in these past few days and weeks. They're anticipating ministry with Jesus. They've seen all sorts of miracles and great things that Jesus has done, and they've seen him get in some trouble with religious authorities. And they witnessed him being taken away to be crucified. And they're trying to process that. Jesus was crucified. Now, you know, if you've had to process the death of someone close to you, it takes time. Good Lord, I'm still getting over the loss of my dog. All right? You know what that's like. This week, you know, we got the news that Marcia and Bob Johnson sold their house. And I'm thinking, that's great for them. And immediately I start grieving because we're going to miss them. Right? Lori took a great promotion in Indiana. And we're all so proud of you and happy for you. And we're grieving. And various members have all sorts of different health crises and family crises and things that make us joyful and things that make our hearts go, can we take one more piece of bad news? This is the in-between time the disciples were in. Jesus is alive. He was crucified, but he's alive now. And I had one friend that commented, rather, I don't know, irreverently, so what did he give up, the weekend? Because he's alive. And the disciples are still trying to absorb that. And Jesus says, now in a little while, you're not going to be able to see me anymore. And so, verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And the Greek here is kind of funky. You know, it could be that the ones who were worshiping doubted too. And isn't that all of us at some point or another? But these are the people that Jesus entrusted the mission of the Christian church to. People who worshiped him and doubted. People who were trying to process what the resurrection means, what the kingdom of God means, what it means to be in the presence of the living Christ and know that he's about to go away again. Jesus knows about the doubts. The good news is the opposite of faith is not doubt. Okay? If you take nothing else home with you, the opposite of faith is not doubt. Doubt is good. Doubt is real. Pastor Mike Clark reminded me today, I don't take credit this week, for that Frederick Buechner quote, doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. You see, if we approach faith and say, I am so certain of my faith that nothing can shake me, then faith is almost like a possession. You ask somebody, what gets you through something? And they respond, my faith, like it's a possession. Ask them to think more deeply about that answer. Because they're saying it with a very convicted heart, no doubt about it. Sorry for the pun. They're saying it in good faith. But what gets you through the rough times? Is it your faith, your possession? Or is it the God that you have faith in? I'm wagering to say it's the second. What gets you through the hard stuff is a relationship with the living, loving God who has called you his own and named you and claimed you. And Jesus tells the disciples, here's what you do. Go make disciples of all nations. Okay, this is important. It doesn't say go isolate yourself from other nations. He's not saying go be fearful of other nations. He's saying go spread my good news to all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for the whole world, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in the whole fullness of God. And the fullness of God can't be summed up in three names, but that's just kind of a code for all of God. As God relates to God's self, God creates and calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and God poured out God's self in the God-made flesh, Jesus, for us. And then teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And that sounds like such a big order. How many commandments do we need to remember? Teaching them everything I have commanded you? How many? Two. Love God with all your heart and soul and strength and everything within you. And love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he did say it's not complicated. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. The love of God for the whole world and the mission of God assigned to people like us. People with doubts and fears and concerns and griefs and hopes and joys that aren't related to the gospel. But he assigns it to us. Love God more than anything. Love your neighbor as yourself, because God already loves you more than you can even imagine. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.